بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته ما شاء الله إمام حسين عليه السلام says to Allah سبحانه وتعالى إلهي حكمك النافذ ومشيتك القاهرة لم يترك لذي مقال مقالا ولا لذي حال حالا. Sometimes we say something by using some words. Sometimes we say something without using words. My condition explains what I want to say. If you look at my condition, you realize what I want. In Arabic, we have maqal and we have hal. Maqal means to say something by words. For example, I am in need of water, I'm thirsty. I say, please give me water. So this is maqal. Sometimes I am coughing. So this means I am saying, give me water, but by hal, not by maqal. My hal, my condition, tells you that I am in need of water. So, sometimes you see a person says, give me money. Sometimes you see a person has no good dress, no food. So his condition, his hal says, give him money. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, your judgment and your will are so perfect, so much informed and taking into account everything about us that there is no need for me to say something by words or say something by body gesture or by my condition. Everything you know about me, there is no point in trying to change your judgment, because you know everything about me and take you into account everything, you have made this judgment. Sometimes, you know, a person makes a judgment about you, makes a, I don't know, verdict, or for example issues a sentence, a penalty, and you say, let me go and speak to him, maybe he doesn't know my condition. So you go and say, you know, for example, I didn't do this. But if he shows you the picture or the film that you have been doing this, so you cannot deny. Or you say, for example, this is my first time. He says, this is a record. You have done this 100 times before. So if you know that there is a chance to defend yourself by telling something that that person didn't know or saying that you made mistake, you try speaking to him. But if you know that he already has checked everything and he has all the information about you, even the things that you don't know, you don't remember, then there is no point in arguing with him. He knows everything. The file is perfect. So our case with Allah is like this. There is no chance for us to mention something that indicates his judgment is not correct, or to say that you didn't look after this side, or there was this ruling that you didn't, you know, pay attention. It's such a perfect judgment that he makes that no one can say anything about it. Even if I want to say something about this which is wrong, Allah has so many witnesses against me. the angels will bring testimony against me. Even my own hand and my own tongue, my own body would be speaking against me. So the situation with us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clear and straightforward. No one can argue, no one can question. لَمْ يَتْرُكَ لَذِي مَقَالٍ مَقَالًا وَلَا لَذِي حَالٍ حَالًا. No one can say anything. You become wordless, speechless. Because everything is perfect. So, the best thing is to be honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot hide anything from Him, you cannot deceive. You have to be honest. If still you have time, so act in the way that later you would not need to feel ashamed or embarrassed. Because everything is recorded. If you know that there are tens of cameras on you, so you become very careful. So before doing something wrong, think about this, that soon you will be given the full report. If you have already done something wrong, okay, don't argue with Allah, don't, you know, question His judgment. Just be very polite and say, please forgive me. Give me another chance, inshallah, I will be okay. Do sincere tawbah. In Dua-e Kumail, we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَجْرَيْتَ عَلَيَّ حُكْمًا اتَّبَعْتُ فِيهَ هَوَى نَفْسِي وَلَمْ أَحْتَرِسْ فِيهِ مِنْ تَزْيِينَ عَدُوِّي فَغَرَّنِي بِمَا أَحْوَى وَأَسْعَدَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقَزَى فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَيَّ فِي جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ وَلَا حُجَّةَ لِي فِي مَا جَرَى عَلَيَّ فِيهِ قَضَاءُكَ وَأَلْزَمَنِي حُكْمُكَ وَبَلَغَ. Oh Allah, whatever has happened is because of my carelessness. You have made a decision for me. You made a command. You gave me an instruction. I didn't show enough care. And shaitan knew how to come to me. My nafs brought temptations. So I was not careful. I did something wrong. And now I have no hujjah. I have no argument. And you have all the arguments to use against me. This is at least humbleness and politeness. There is a chance that it may work. If Allah sees that you are really honest and sincere, He may accept. But if you want to question Him, say, no, I didn't do this, or my father, my mother was responsible, my neighbor was bad, you know, weather was not good, you know, the road was not good. This is not working. You cannot bring all these excuses. No one will listen to these excuses. As Quran says, لا يؤذن لهم فيعتذرون. They will not be given permission to bring these excuses. These excuses would not work. لم يترك الذي مقال مقالا ولا الذي حال حالا. إلهي كم من طاعة بنيتها وحالة شيدتها حدم اعتمادي عليها عدلك. Imam Hussein says, oh Allah, there were many cases that I did something good. I had good condition, good feelings. And I was hoping that my good action, my good feeling would help me. I was very proud of my salat. It was very nice salat. I was very proud of my ziyarah, very proud of my community work, my charity work. I helped one family. I was very proud of that. I was hoping that is going to save me. But حَدَمَ اعْتِمَادِي عَلَيْهَا عَدْلُكَ. But your justice made me forget what I have done. Because when I bring those good things to you, and according to your standards, you look at them and take into them, I lose my hope. I realize that that salat which I was very happy with is not working. There was a problem there. There was a problem in my intention. There was a problem in my attention. everything that I did, which I was relying on that, after your examination, I realized that it is not working. And then Imam says something more important. بَلْ أَقَالَنِي مِنْهَا فَضْلُوكَ. Not only it was your justice that took away my hope and my trust in actions, indeed it was your favor that you saved me from that condition. Because it's very bad for me to be trusting my actions. Do you get the point? It's a very profound idea. Imam says, first, I was proud of some of my actions. I said, these actions are going to help me. After your careful assessment of them, I realized that my actions are not going to help me because they are not really good. They are not really sincere. After a little progress in my understanding, now I am happy that I am not trusting my actions, because that was ghurur, that was pride. I am happy that I no longer think that my salat is going to save me, my azadari is going to save me, my ziyara is going to save me. The only thing that can save me is your rahmah, is your forgiveness. So I have trust in my actions, now I don't trust my actions, I only trust you. I do my best in doing good actions, but I never rely on my actions. At the end, what is going to save us is Allah's rahmah, Allah's forgiveness, Allah's mercifulness. Of course, Allah's rahmah is for whom? إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ غَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. For those who say salat, who do fast. But it is not these actions that help you. These are something that we bring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take from Him what can save us. It's like, for example, the brothers of Yusuf, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, when they suffered from drought and famine and there was shortage of food, they went to Aziz of Misr and they said, Ya ayyuhal Aziz, massana wa ahlana dhur. We and our family are in trouble, we have problem, we suffer. وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَاتٍ. We have brought a little gift, a little present for you. فَأَوْفِ لَنَا الْكَيْلِ وَتَصَدَّقْ عَلَيْنَا. So please give us a lot. So this is like the price for the wheat that they were taking, the food that they were taking. But it was very little. He said, please, you make it a lot and tasaddaq alayna. Give us a sadaqah. So, what they offered to Yusuf was not significant. But that was the best they had. They could not rely on what they offered to Yusuf and say with pride, Yusuf, we are giving you the cost. You must give us the wheat. No. They knew that it's useless. When there is no food, who is after gold? Or who is after, you know, gift? Everyone wants to have food. So they say very politely, please be kind with us. We are suffering. Our family are suffering. We have a little gift here, which is nothing. You please be kind with us and give us, you know, gift something. This is our example. Whatever we do, when we think about our actions, we realize that it's not significant. But at least you have to take these actions. Don't say, no, I don't want to take anything. If you don't take anything, this is arrogance. You have to do your best, have salat, fasting, ziyara, azadari, charity, everything, community work, help people, learning, teaching, everything that you can, so that Allah looks at your actions and say, okay, this servant of mine has brought something which was the maximum capacity that he had. Now I want to give him what I can give him. We bring what suits us. He gives us what suits him. This is the way that we can be saved. I say, oh Allah, in my pocket is 100 pounds. I give it to you. What is in your pocket? Give it to me. So in this way, Allah says, yes, he's right. He had only 100 pounds, gave it to me. He had only, for example, one life, gave it to me. So now I give him eternal life. This will work. Elahi, innaka ta'lamu anni wa in lam tadum at-ta'atu minni fi'lan jazma faqad damat mahabbatan wa azma. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, oh Allah, you know that although we were not able to obey you all the time, in practice we had shortcomings. It was not that all the time we were obeying you. Sometimes we were sleeping, sometimes we were tired, sometimes we were, you know, for example, talking with people. It's not that all the time we are doing good things. But what is important is that فَقَدْ دَامَتْ مَحَبَّةً وَعَزْمًا. But I always loved to obey you. Maybe there were times that I was not actually obeying you, I was not actually doing something for you, but in my heart I always loved to obey you. Even if I was sleeping, if you were looking into my heart, you realize that I am sleeping, but with love of your obedience. I was sleeping, but I was hoping to wake up and they say my salat. I was sleeping, but I was hopeful that inshallah then I will recite the Quran. So this love for obeying you is always in my heart. Maybe in practice I am not doing something, but in my heart there is commitment. This is very important. If you have a person, sometimes I use this example, you know, imagine a person is working for you for a few hours. So he says, every day I work for you 2 hours, 6 hours, or full time 8 hours. So depending on how many hours he works for you, you pay him. So you pay him 2 hours, if he works 8 hours, you give him for 8 hours. But then whatever he does later or before coming to the office, you don't pay for that. Okay? If, for example, he says, you know, I was 2 hours in traffic, say, that is your problem. I pay you when you come here and when you are here. But if you have a person who works for you 24 hours, 7 days a week, then you have to pay for him when he's in traffic. You have to pay for him when he's sleeping. You have to pay for him when he's going to see his mother. You have to pay for him when he's even in the hospital. Because he says, he is all the time working for me. Sometimes you say, you have been working hard for me. Go and have, you know, some holiday. I will pay for that. Because this person is your servant. A servant, it's not only servant when he is awake. Even when he's sleeping, he's your servant. If you need him, you can awake him. But that person who works for you for 8 hours, in the afternoon he says, you know, I have commitments. I'm only working for you in the morning. So there's a big difference. A servant, he says, I am at your service. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, now that you are my servant, I don't only reward you for those actions that you do. I reward you for all the time that you had this intention in your heart to obey me. So this makes the condition much better than a person who is just looking for one action, one reward. One action, one reward. This is much better. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam says that إِلَّمْ تَدُمِ الطَّاعَةُ مِنِّي فِعْلًا جَزْمًا. If obedience was not something that I was continuously doing, فَقَدْ دَامَتْ مَحَبَّةً وَعَزْمًا. But in my heart I had love and intention of obeying you all the time. I was at your service all the time. إِلَهِ كَيْفَ أَعْزِمُ وَأَنْتَ الْقَاهِرُ وَكَيْفَ لَا أَعْزِمُ وَأَنْتَ الْآمِرُ. How can I make a decision while you have all the power? But how can I stop making decisions while you have asked me to make decisions? You know, we human beings have very limited space to exercise our free will. We are free. There is no doubt about it. We are not forced by anyone, by any law, to go to this direction or that direction. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Allah has given us enough guidance and power and free will to choose. He says, this is right way, this is wrong way. You can choose, but then you have to be accountable. You can accept the responsibility. You cannot say, okay, I am free, so I choose wrong way. No one should ask me. No, you will be questioned. But you have been given the freedom. Okay. Now, in those things that we have freedom, because I don't have freedom for everything. I didn't decide to be born. I didn't decide to be man or woman. I didn't decide who would be my parents. So there are things that are not in our hands. But there are many, many things which are in our hands. Whatever affects my morality, my iman, whether to be a good person or bad person, obedient or disobedient, it's in my hand. My place of birth, my time of birth, my parents, my family do not define, do not determine what type of person I am. Therefore, two brothers from the same family, one of them may decide to be a good person, another decides to be a bad person. So, we have freedom, and this freedom is within a framework which is set for us. Now, when we want to exercise our freedom, we face lots of challenges. You want to do something, sometimes you find other people help, sometimes other people create problems for you. Sometimes everyone helps you, sometimes people cause difficulties. If you are persistent, whether you can do what you want or you cannot do what you want, you can still keep going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very fast. This is the beauty of power that Allah has given us. People can stop me from going to mosque. People can stop me from going to ziyarah. People can stop me from going to a school. People can say, you know, you cannot have, for example, this abba and imam on you. Okay, this is what they can do. People can put me in prison. But no one can keep me far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if they put me in prison, this would increase my love for Allah. This would strengthen my relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if they kill me, what can they do more than killing me? Still, this would not stop me. So, what is needed for progress, for closeness to Allah, is in our hands. No one can take it from you. If Namrud wants to stop Ibrahim with all the power that he has, he cannot. If Pharaoh wants to stop Musa with all the power that he has, with all the troops, he cannot. So, we have a great
a space to exercise our freedom. But you have to also always be humble. You have to always remember that the way things are decided are not 100% depending on you. Always ask Allah for help. Because there are many cases that you want to plan and the things go out of control. You may be the best person in planning, in management skills. Very organized, very efficient, you know all the things. But sometimes business doesn't work for you. You can be a person who finds good husband or wife for everyone, but then for your own children you cannot find. Never you should be, you know, proud of yourself. Never say, you know, I can do everything. Therefore, a mu'min is the one who knows that he has to accept responsibility, but at the same time knows that he is to depend on Allah, he is to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every decision that we make, we must know that it is up to him to guide our decision or not. One of the beautiful concepts in the Quran is that not only people can be guided or misguided, even the actions can be guided and misguided. It's a very beautiful concept in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people who have no faith, Allah misguides their actions. What does it mean? It means that they make planning, they target something, they do something, but it would not bring the result that they wanted. Everything they look is perfect. The planning is perfect. But وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مَاكَرٍ. They put Ibrahim into fire to damage Ibrahim and make Ibrahim such a lesson that no one else would dare to talk about Tawheed. But then Allah misguides their actions, Ibrahim would be saved and everyone would become a lover of Ibrahim and Tawheed. Pharaoh wanted to kill Musa, and because of killing Musa, because he knew that a son would be born who would destroy him, to not let that child grow, he decided to kill all sons from Bani Israel. But Allah misguided his actions. So Allah brought up Musa under the care of Pharaoh. And no one could touch Musa. Pharaoh was killing everyone else. But no one was able to even speak harshly with Musa, because Musa is under care of Pharaoh. Look at the way Allah works. So, a mu'min would never forget to trust Allah in very, very difficult conditions, and also never become too much hopeful about himself. You find always a balance. Never become too hopeful about anything, never become hopeless. Even if the condition is very, very difficult, Allah can guide you and your actions. Even if the condition is very pleasant, still you can fail. So, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, when I look at you and the power that you have, the control that you have over everything, I think I cannot make any decision. I cannot plan anything. But on the other hand, you ask me to plan. You ask me to do something. So what I do is that I do my best, but then I leave it to you. I try to plan, to organize as much as possible, but I don't really rely on my action and planning. I say it to you. This is very important. Unfortunately, we sometimes don't take get this right. Either we don't do any planning, any consultation, we say tabakkaltu ala Allah. This is wrong. We leave everything to Allah. So Allah has to come and build our houses, Allah has to come and build our community, and Allah has to, you know, upbring our children Islamically. He has to do everything. This is not possible. And sometimes we go to the other extreme and we think that everything is result of what we do, which is not the case. We have to do our best, but the barakah comes if Allah gets involved. It's not my action. It's not my planning. If Allah gets involved, then the barakah comes. Elahi, taraddudi fil athar yujib bu'd al mazar. Fajma'ni alayka bi khidmatin tusiluni ilayk. In our daily life, we have to be involved in many, many relations. In Islam, we don't have this concept that you go to a desert or to a cave and worship Allah. We have to go through normal life. We have to go to school, we have to go to a street, to market, to university. We have to be very active. But a mu'min is always concerned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although he doesn't live in isolation, or, you know, for example, in a monastic life, but he has always the same amount of concentration and focus that those people have. This is very difficult, but much more powerful. If I remember Allah because there is no one else to draw my attention and distract me, this is not that significant. I don't work for dunya because I have no family, no children, no one to look after. I am not responsible for anything. Okay, this is good, but it's not as good as the person who has children, family, responsibility, everything. Still, he works for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of dunya. These two cannot be compared with each other. But how can we make sure that in this process we don't lose our concentration, our focus? Imam Hussein says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, taraddudi fil athar. When I am dealing with your creation, with what you have created, your effects, yujibu bu'd al-mazar, this makes my journey to come and meet you longer. Because I have to come to you through these worldly affairs. I am not leaving them aside. I am coming through them to you. It was easier to forget everything, go to a desert and just worship Allah. It could be easier. But now I have to come to you through lots of activities, engagements, relations, responsibilities. So this makes it longer. Yujibu bu'd al-mazar. Makes my meeting with you take more of time and energy. Fajma'ni alayk. So please bring all my attention back to yourself. So physically I would be involved in lots of activities. Mentally I would be busy with managing many things. But my heart, please keep it all together with all the love and all the knowledge that you put in the heart of your friends. فَاجْمَعْنِي عَلَيْكَ بِخِدْمَةٍ تُوصِلُنِي إِلَيْكَ. So that I would be at your service. If I am at your service, that's enough for me. If a servant is asked to go and buy some bread, put this check in the bank, go to doctor and, you know, take some medicine, take my children from school, He has asked many things, but he never forgets that he is doing all these things for his master. So whatever he does would not make him forget his master. If he forgets that he is a servant and thinks that he is doing these things for himself, then that's a problem. Then when he goes to bank to put this check, he wants to put it in his own name, or he wants to cheat. But if he knows that he is the servant, so he would be relaxed. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Oh Allah, my engagement with the things and the people that you have created with your effects, make my meeting with you take longer. So please bring me together, bring my attention, my energy, my thoughts, my ideas, everything together. Fajma'ni alayk. Bring everything around yourself. Build everything about myself, my energy, my heart towards this unit, which is Allah Himself, so that I can reach you. Tusaluni alayk." Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam talks about the knowledge of Allah that such a person has. كَيْفَ يُسْتَدَلُّ عَلَيْكَ بِمَا هُوَ فِي وَجُودِهِ مُفْتَقِرٌ إِلَيْكَ. If you open any book about theology, about existence of God, which is written for beginners or for the intermediate, you know, students, normally you find that they use some of the creatures to help you come to some understanding of the Creator. For example, they say, look at the beautiful way that Allah has created animals, insects, bees, ants. Look at the beautiful way Allah has created stars and planets. Look at the way Allah has created us. So by reflecting on the things which are created by Allah, effects, we come to a knowledge about the cause, the originator, which is Allah. Of course, in the more philosophical books, we have other types of arguments. But normally, this is the way people come to know about God. They reflect on a creation of Allah, and they say this cannot be created by chance. There must be a creator. This is the famous argument from design. Okay. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, this means that for me, that creation of you must be more known, must be more obvious than you. So I use it to come to you. I look at this, for example, ant or bee. I reflect on them and I say, this cannot be created by chance, so there must be a God who has created them. This is the way that we act. Okay, there is no problem with this. But Imam Hussein says, this type of arguments would not suit me, would not work for me. Why? He says, because when I look at these things, I find that they are all in need of you. For me, your existence is more obvious than these things. This is for the people who have not direct communication with you. The people who need to prove you for themselves. So they use a creation of you to prove you for themselves. For me, your existence is more obvious than their existence. So instead of using them to come to know you, I know you and through you I want to know them. This is the difference between an RF and a normal believer. كَيْفَ يُسْتَدَلُّ عَلَيْكَ بِمَا هُوَ فِي وَجُودِهِ مُفْتَقِرٌ إِلَيْكَ. How can I use something as a sign for you while this is in need of you? أن يكون لغيرك من الظهور ما ليس لك. Is anyone other than you, anything other than you, in possession of some clarity that you lack so that I use it to come to know you? What is clearer than you? For me, nothing is clearer than you. I don't need to use anything as a sign. Those people who are far from you, let use these things as signs for you. But I am feeling your presence. I'm seeing you. I don't need any signs. If a person, for example, has been a student of a great alim for many years, he knows him in person, he has learned from that person for many years. Every day he was sitting with him and learning from him. Then it would be ridiculous to say to him, this man is a very knowledgeable man because he has written these books, or he has, for example, been certified by, I don't know, this council or that council. He says, I know this person in person for many years. Those signs, those certificates, those recognitions are for the outsiders. I know this person directly. I have very personal relation with this person. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, أَيَّكُونُ لِغَيْرَكَ مِنَ الظُّهُورِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ. Is anything other than you clear so that I can use its clarity to come to know you? For me, you are the clearest thing, the most obvious thing. مَتَا غِبْتَ حَتَّى تَحْتَاجَ إِلَى دَلِيلٍ. When was the time that you were absent, you were hidden, so that I needed to look for a sign? When you are always here, always with me, why I should look for a sign? Who is in need of sign? A person who doesn't see God, he says, you know, show me a sign. Is anyone in doubt about himself? You know, it would look very funny if someone says, bring a sign that I exist. Bring a sign that I am here. I said, the best sign is yourself. If you doubt about yourself, you can doubt about any other sign that I bring. No one doubts about himself. Imam Hussein says, when was the time that you were not present so that you needed a sign? Your existence, your presence is more obvious than any other thing. متى غبت حتى تحتاج إلى دليل يدل عليك ومتى بعدت حتى تكون الآثار هي التي توصل إليك. When was the time that you were far so that by using signs we had to come to you, we had to take those signs to come to you? You were not far from us. There was no need to take anything to bring us to you. You are always present and always close to us. عميت عين لا تراك عليها رقيبا. This is the last sentence. عميت عين لا تراك عليها رقيبا. The eye that cannot see you is a blind eye. If the eye is functioning, if that eye is not made blind, would see you before seeing anything else. My eye finds you the most obvious thing, the closest thing, the most present thing, the most active thing. So I don't need to look for some sign. I don't need to look for some proof. You are the best proof. And this is why some great philosophers have tried to develop arguments for existence of God, which would not need to use anything as a premise to come to God. They call it Burhan al-Siddiqin, the argument after truthful people. Instead of using anything to argue for the existence of God, they refer to God himself. And there is, of course, version by Ibn Sina, by Mullah Sadra, by Allama Tabatabai. They have different versions. But they are inspired by verses of the Quran and hadith like this, that you can make the existence of God clear for everyone without reference to the creation. Directly argue from God himself. So, the summary of what we said tonight is that, first of all, Allah's judgment is so accurate, so well documented, that leaves no chance for anyone to argue. Just accept. Don't waste your time and energy by saying, oh Allah, you didn't look at this side, you didn't know about this side, I had that problem. Those Allah takes into account everything. He knows everything about you. He knows your record. Everything is clear. The best thing is just to be humble, admit your mistakes, and say, please help me. The second thing we mention is that, oh Allah, if I have not been always actually obeying you, there were times that I was perhaps sleeping, I was heedless, I was engaged with other things, but in my heart there is always love and commitment for you. So please accept me as a person who is always at your service, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Then we talked about planning, that I have to plan because you ask me to plan, you have given me freedom and responsibility, but I know that I don't have full control over everything. I know my limits. And the other thing was that I have to go into active daily life. I have to be active in society, but please keep my attention on yourself. Please help me to have focus on yourself. I don't want to get busy with other things and then forget you. To be busy is okay, but not so busy that then I forget you. So your body can be busy, but your heart must be only quiet and at the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, you have never been hidden from me. You have never been absent. You have never been far. There is nothing clearer to me, more present to me, more known to me than you. I don't need to use anything to come to know to you. May Allah inshallah give us ability to achieve inshallah this kind of knowledge of Allah and this kind of love for Allah. We remember tonight Hazrat Ali Akbar. Imam Hussein alayhi salam had so much love for Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam that he gave the name of Ali to all his sons. Ali Akbar, Ali Asghar, and Ali ibn Hussein Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. All of them he called them Ali. Hazrat Ali Akbar was very special in the sense that he physically also looked very much like Rasulullah, to the extent that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as you all know, saw Ali Akbar is going towards the enemies, he said, oh Allah, you be witness. A man is going towards them who is ashbahu an-nas bi Rasulillah. Imam doesn't exaggerate. He says he resembles Rasulullah the most. Khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan. If you put these three together, maybe someone in his akhlaq is closer to Rasulullah, like Imam himself. But akhlaq and khalq, in his creation and his akhlaq, his character and in his speech. So when Hazrat Ali Akbar was speaking, everyone was thinking that Rasulullah is speaking. His tone was like Rasulullah. And I think this was a big test. If those people who were in the army of Umar Sa'd, if they had little love for Rasulullah, they were not able to fight Ali Akbar. At least they would say, okay, this person is special. I want to avoid killing this person because this is not only grandchild of the Rasulullah. He reminds me of Rasulullah. How can I take my sword against Rasulullah? But they had no love. They were blinded by Shaitan. هر کس که هوای پدری داشته باشد. Everyone who wants to be a father, خوب است که همچین پسری داشته باشد. It's good if you have a son like Ali Akbar. This is an honor for a father to have a son like Ali Akbar. انگار رسول است نمایی که تو داری. Your appearance is like Rasulullah. انگار بتول است صدایی که تو داری. Your song, your voice is like voice of Lady Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah. بد نیست که هر روز عقیقه بنمایی. با این قد انگشت نمایی که تو داری. You know, when we have a child, we do عقیقه, we slaughter and, you know, give food for protection. The poet says that with such a beauty that you have every day, we must do aqiqah for you. Such a beautiful, shining face. باید که برای تو کرمخانه بسازند از بس که زیاد است گدایی که تو داری. There are so many poor and beggars who come to you that they might make a big house so that you can look after the poor who come to you. Everyone is in need of your generosity. از شش جهت کعبه دل لطف تو جاری است از سفره پرجود و سخایی که تو داری. From all dimensions, from all corners of my heart, love is coming to you because you are so generous. You are so much supportive. تو انقدر از خیشتن خیش گذشتی که منتظر توست خدایی که تو داری. You have so much given to Allah and forgot everything about yourself that now Allah is waiting for you. Allah is yearning for you. ای سیر کمالات همه تا سر کویت. ای آب فرات لب من آب وضویت. He says, everyone who is embarking on a journey for perfection, the journey stops before reaching you. Means you are above perfection. Those who are traveling to achieve perfection, the journey ends at your door. Means if someone comes to you, he has more than perfection. The water that you use for your wuzu is the sweetest water for me to drink. عالم همه حیران ابوالفضل و حسین. All are surprised by the greatness of Imam Hussein and Hazrat ابوالفضل. عالم همه حیران ابوالفضل و حسین. ماتند ابوالفضل و حسین از گل رویت. But Imam Hussein and Hazrat ابوالفضل themselves are surprised about you. پایین قدم های حسین جای کمی نیست. Hazrat Ali Akbar is buried under the feet of Imam Hussein. So this is not a normal place. This is a very special place. جا دارد اگر قبطه خورد بر تو عمویت. Even Hazrat ابوالفضل doesn't have such a place so close to Imam Hussein علیه السلام. In any case, it was very difficult for Imam Hussein alayhi salam to say farewell to Hazrat Ali Akbar. But perhaps it was Allah's plan that Hazrat Ali Akbar once again comes back after fighting to Imam Hussein. He came back to Imam and said, "I am very thirsty." But this poet says he was not thirsty for water. He was thirsty for something else. He says, تیرها در صف پیکار به تن بال و پرش تیغها شانه به گیسوی شکن در شکنش. All the arrows hit the body of Ali Akbar, became like feathers for a bird. All those spears went into the hairs of Ali Akbar like comb for the hair. تشنه لب بود ز میدان به حرم تاخت فرس تا مگر آب دهد حجت حی زمنش. He was thirsty. He went with his horse towards Imam so that the Imam of his time gave him water. لاله عارضش از خون جبین تر اما بود چون چوبه خشکی دو عقیق یمنش. His forehead was wet because of blood coming, but his lips were dry. In soalist agar bood Ali teshne ab bood dar teshme furat ab ravan moj zanash. This is a question. If he was thirsty, why he didn't go towards Euphrates? If he was looking for water, he could have gone towards the Euphrates. آتش او آتش لعل لب بابا بود که مگر باز دمد روح ولایت به تنش. He was thirsty, but he was thirsty to kiss Hussein. He wanted to get the spirit of velaya again from Hussein. شه گرفتش به بر و ناله زد از سوز جگر شرر دل زد سر زد جای سخنش. Imam Hussein alayhi salam embraced Ali Akbar. گفت بگذار زبانت به دهان برگیرم به مکم سیر که آبی رسد از قلب منش. Said, let me put your tongue in my mouth so that water comes from my heart to you, because he had no water to give to his son. بوسه زد بر لب فرزند بوسه زد بر لب فرزند و ز اشک خجلت آب می داد به پش مرد گل نسترنش. Hussein was kissing the lips of his son, and he was embarrassed that he didn't have any water to give him. He had only his tears to give to Ali Akbar. لب بابا به لب خشک علی بود و علی عشق از دیده و خون بود روان از دمش. The lip of Hussein and Ali Akbar were touching each other. The tears are coming from their eyes and the blood was coming from the injuries of Ali Akbar. الله لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. نسألك اللهم وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم وبالقرآن المستحكم وبفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها يا الله 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 يا الله.
Oh Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. Oh Allah, please enable us to be always with Muhammad and all Muhammad in dunya and akhirah. Please enable us to serve Muhammad and all Muhammad. Please enable us to be always on the right path at the service of your chosen servants. Oh Allah, please keep us and our children generation by generation on the right path. Oh Allah, please protect our families and community from everything which is bad. Oh Allah, please give shafa and healing to the brothers and sisters who are ill. Please give shafa to the people who are not able to attend majalis. Please let them share the reward of the mourners of Hussein. Oh Allah, please send your rahmah to all the mu'mineen who have passed away, especially our parents and foreparents, our teachers and our maraj and everyone who has right upon us. Oh Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdu lillahi rabbil alameen.
I just have to pray.